Laura Armstrong joins us now, TFC beat writer, and covers the Jays as well for the Toronto Star. Laura, always great to have you on the show. Thanks very much for being with us. And boy, it seems like it's been such a long time since TFC played, because Laura, it's been such a long time since TFC played. I don't think it's an advantage or a disadvantage for either of the two teams, but it's got to be pretty hard to get the momentum going when it takes so long to finish off this season.
Yeah, certainly. It's been, I mean, they're all like itching to get going. They, you know, at the beginning of the break, the talk is all about how it's nice to have some time off, especially the TFC had a pretty emotional Eastern Conference semifinal against New York Red Bulls. So I think that they could use a little bit of break, but in terms of their body, in terms of their mindset. But now that it's going to be more than 2 weeks before they take the field again, and I think that they're just ready to get this game underway. There's been too much talk and not enough action.
That's 100% correct. So, you know, you talked, though, about the game leading into the Eastern Conference Final on TFC losing its composure. I got to believe, Laura, that was a big topic of discussion for Coach Vanney and the players, telling them, you know, the conjecture on TFC is the only way they're going to lose if they lose it themselves. And a way they can lose it themselves is to get off their game, let other teams unravel them, because they certainly had a composure problem in that last game.
Yeah, I think that we talked a lot about over the course of the last 2 weeks, there's been a lot of talk about ways to break down Toronto FC. They've been the best team this season consistently. They set a record for regular season points, but when you get into the playoffs, it's a completely different game. And, you know, they're lucky in the sense that they're playing two leg series, so there's more than 90 minutes, even if they go to Columbus and sort of lose their cool, or as you saw against New York, last in the Eastern Conference semifinal, they lost their cool in the second game, but they did enough in the first game to make it worth their time, and they still managed to get through. But the thing is that now that sort of New York Red Bulls have set the blueprint for what is possible, while TFC is expecting Columbus Crew to certainly play more soccer than the New York Red Bulls did, New York Red Bulls sort of seem to go out and try and beat up TFC. That is certainly a blueprint that could work. So while you expect in some ways more from Columbus Crew, because you expect them to play a brand of soccer that's a little bit more about finesse, a little bit less about the nitty gritty stuff, which probably works to Toronto FC's advantage. If they don't think that game plan is working, they know that TFC can lose their composure, and you could start trying to press their buttons a little bit more, as New York Red Bulls did. And New York Red Bulls, to be honest, did it quite successfully.
They did, and made it more than interesting and a little nervous for TFC, without question. Laura Armstrong is with us from the Toronto Star. I'm Roger Lajoie. TFC and Columbus finally underway Tuesday in the first leg of the two-game Eastern Conference Final leading into the MLS Cup, which would be in Toronto if TFC wins on December 9th. But first things first, Laura, to win and do well in that first leg, never mind win, but at least stay competitive on the road, they'll have to do it, of course, without Giovinco and Altidore because of suspensions. Is it as big a deal as it appears to be? It's the two top scorers, two star players off the roster. But one thing TFC has done this year is shown is it has great depth, and they've had to play without them before. I got to believe that's somewhat an advantage this time around.
Yeah, so they've played without them four times this year, two home games, two away games. They've sort of split them, one home game they won, one home game they lost, one away game they won, one away game they lost. There's been a lot of talk about the last time TFC played Columbus. They played without Giovinco, they played without Jozy Altidore, and they ended up winning 5-0. I don't necessarily think that is an accurate portrayal of the Columbus Crew team that exists today, because they really weren't playing the same 11 players back in May that they were playing, that they're playing now. And so I think that the September games are a little bit more true to form. And TFC did lose two of those games, which is not ideal. They did get a big win, a 4-0 win in Los Angeles, but they lost two other ones. One of them was against Montreal Impact, which was an anomaly. It was an embarrassing performance, and TFC would tell you that on their own. But it's not something to be underestimated. You can't underestimate losing two of arguably the best strikers in the league, if not the best strikers in the league. But TFC does have the players to at least get a result. I don't necessarily think that the team would leave Columbus with a 0-0 draw or with a 1-1 tie and be disappointed, especially if they can get an away goal and go without losing, you know, that would be a favorable result for them. And one thing that TFC does know is that last year they went into the Eastern Conference Final against Montreal Impact. They lost 3-2, and they were able to come back from behind. And I think that's what the experience from last year's MLS Cup gives them, is the faith that they know that they can go down and they can come back. And the fact that they have the second leg at BMO Field with all of their fans behind them, I think is a huge thing for Toronto FC, because they certainly don't think that they're going to lose at home. So I think that, you know, it's still Toronto's to lose. It's just a matter of whether or not they can ensure that that happens.
Well, that home game ace in the hole is certainly a big factor in this, without question. Columbus, a very interesting side as well for a lot of reasons. Laura, of course, their owner is making noise that the team will be relocating from Columbus. The fans have kind of, you know, galvanized the team and kind of went against the owner. And it seems, although I got to admit, full disclosure, I've not seen Columbus play a lot of games this year, but it seems like they're feeding off that. They've been very hot down the stretch and are kind of using that to their advantage. A little emotion doesn't kill you, especially when you're getting close to a championship, does it?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, they won 12 of their last 13 games. Their last game against New York City FC was a loss. And I talked to Columbus defender Josh Williams, who was a TFC player last year, earlier this week. And Josh Williams said, you know, we're not getting any motivation from the win streak anymore because the win streak's over. 12 of 13 games doesn't count as a win streak when your last game was lost. So what they are going to take from it is the fact that the stadium is going to be sold out because their fans are trying to show the owner that there is not a lack of support in Columbus for this team. You know, it's been an incredible movement, I have to say. You know, you've seen Save the Crew flags across the league. I spoke to one of the Toronto supporters groups who will be wearing T-shirts this week in Columbus that say, Save the Crew, just not today. Obviously, bigger picture, they want to keep around one of the founding MLS clubs, but on the day they want TFC to win. But it's certainly something that has been galvanizing the Columbus Crew team for you know, the better half of the last 6 weeks, better part of the last 6 weeks, because this news broke just before the end of the regular season. And I think that, you know, certainly you're going to benefit from a home crowd, wild atmosphere. There's 20,000 people in that stadium, and I think about 1,000 of them are going to be Toronto FC fans, which is great numbers, but it's easy to drown out 1,000 people when you've got 18,000 coming against them. So I certainly think that that will help Columbus. I don't necessarily think that it's going to help the club in the long run to stay in Columbus, but on this run, when they're playing a great brand of soccer, I think that it certainly could be sort of motivational to the team.
Laura Armstrong of the Stars with us as Columbus and TFC Tuesday night play the first leg of the Eastern Conference Championship. So, Laura, who helps pitch in to make up for the absence of Giovinco and Altidore? One thing TFC has shown, as you've already illustrated in the four games that they did not play Giovinco and Altidore this year, they found other ways. Talk about some of the players that maybe the spotlight goes on a little bit more with the two big guns out of the lineup.
Yeah, so the big name that is going to come into the lineup that will be different than normal is Toussaint Ricketts. He's a Canadian striker. He's 28 years old, I believe, and he's a veteran. He scored some massive goals last year in the playoffs. So you know that he can do that for Toronto. He has 7 goals in the regular season this year, and he's quick. And that's something that you don't even necessarily see with TFC. He's been a real super sub for the team over the last year and a half since he joined the club, because he has a speed that Jozy Altidore and Sebastian Giovinco don't necessarily have. So that is a different attacking threat that Columbus is going to have to prepare for. And what I think you'll probably see in terms of lineup is that you'll see Victor Vasquez playing behind him. Victor Vasquez is the central midfielder that has come in and really basically become a fourth designated player for Toronto, which is a real luxury for a team to have. He's a product of Barcelona FC. He's the creative midfielder that they were missing during last year's playoff run. And he has 8 goals this season in the regular season. He's already scored in the playoffs. He has a number of, I think, team-leading game-winning goals, team-leading game-winning assists. And he's a guy that has been there for Toronto all year. And I think that they're going to need him to step up again. I think that he's sort of undervalued in the role that he's played on this team this year, other than, you know, within the club, because they certainly recognize his quality. But I think that he's a guy that TFC is really going to be relying on to step up.
Will be interesting. Laura, we got about a minute quickly to ask you about the future of TFC if they win this championship, and maybe if they don't. Last year, the MLS Cup was electric in this city, really helped draw the casual soccer fan to the game, but they didn't get it done. If they can finish the deal, how important that is to the how much this team has followed from casual sports fans.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. I spoke to general manager Tim Bezbachenko this week, and I asked him if the season was going to be a success if TFC didn't win MLS Cup. And he said, yes, it'll be a success, but it's going to be incomplete. And I think that, for the casual fan, this needs to be completed. People paid attention last year because it was almost like we're happy to be in it, but now they're the favorites, and they sort of need to live up to that, because as a franchise that is not necessarily one of the biggest franchises in the city just yet, they really need to sort of show their worth. And I really think that TFC has a squad to do that this year. And if they're able to do it, it really sets up, fandom for the next couple of years. And I think that they have the squad to live up to that. So I think it'll be fantastic for TFC if they can get the job done.
We'll see if they can get it done. First things first, they got to beat Columbus. That starts Tuesday, second leg, November 29th, and MLS Cup final on November the 9th. Laura Armstrong covering TFC for the Toronto Star joining us tonight. Laura, always great to chat with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.